question for you. So how many times have you raised prices at Nico Kids?
Oh, we've done many times actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, probably three times. Yeah, to me, I think there's yeah, there's many times. So when we started in the beginning, probably 13 years ago, we were charging about 7,400 yen, somewhere around that. Then probably every 3 years, we kept raising. Then that's yeah how yeah that's the kind of path that we took.
Okay. And
Yeah.
did you raise it just the monthly fee, or did you raise like other fees as well, like the entry fee or materials or that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think in the first round, I think I raised all the fee, geisha monthly fee and the entrance fee and the materials fee, because I wasn't charging much of material fee, even though we had to buy teachers resources and we had to go for training for the books and things like that. Yeah. But yeah, so since then we start to charge a little bit more. Then we were able to, provide enough training for the teachers and provide enough materials and things like that.
Okay, that's interesting. So the materials fee would not include, a lot of schools might think of that as just being the book, and they'll charge kind of just exactly what it costs them for the book. So in your case, you added you kind of factored in the cost of getting set up with your own teacher material resources, and also, learning to, the training to learn to use the curriculum.
Because I think yeah it's a big part of I'll say material fee, yeah, from my perspective. So now I think we're charging about 40% of margin. Yeah, we of course charge for books that we use. We use Finding Out series and Magic House series, and then also we use Gamerize, your thing. Yeah, then I think we charge 1,000 yen per month per student. Yeah,
For all materials.
for Gamerize.
Okay. So
Yeah,
you
for
charge, that's
Gamerize.
a monthly fee rather than part of the yearly fee at the beginning.
I mean, I divide it into a monthly fee, but
Oh, okay.
they have to pay up front when they join.
Okay.
Yeah, or
So
when yes,
please, please.
when they start new school year, which is at the end of March, we charge materials fee, so books fee and the game rise and yearly fee and things like that.
Right. So that
Yeah.
actually adds up to quite a bit, right? So the all the materials fees together, how much does that come to?
15,000 yen, something like
15,000 yen.
that.
Okay. And then the yearly fee, which is what? Nana, how much is that? 8,000, 9,000? 8,000?
Somewhere around that. I can't remember
Okay,
the number
so
here.
it's about 20, 25,000-ish yen per year for the materials and the yearly fee.
And
Do you, go ahead.
plus monthly fee for next month, which is April.
Right.
Yeah, so that adds up, like, it ends up a lot of money, a big
Right.
amount of
Okay,
money.
okay. So is that, does that, do you, does that in some way make you feel more nervous towards the end of the year, like
Well, of
about retention and
course.
that kind of thing? Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Are
So,
there anything special that is there anything special that you do particularly towards the end of the year to sort of ensure that you have higher retention?
We try to do a lot of different things, but we in our case, I mean, it's relevant to a lot of English schools, but a lot of older students that are grade 5 and 6, they tend to quit. because you know, they have to take a juken or they go to junior high school and things like that. So towards to those students, we try to you know, provide information like why, you know, studying in, studying a conversation is important even for you know, test, because yeah, tests are changing, so they start to include more conversation and listening. Yeah, so giving informative information, then, you know, kind of like not convincing, but, you know, trying to get them understand why we do what we do and how valuable studying English is, speaking, studying, speak, yeah, studying, practicing speaking is.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, okay. So basically just communication and education of the parents for them to understand the value more so at that kind of timing, right?
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Do you do that through messages, email, meetings, setsumei kai? What sort of means is that?
Yeah, we name it as workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then we actually have done it December, at the end of December.
Right.
Yeah, for parents, and I think it was online, and I think 30 people joined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish, you know, more people would join, but yeah, 30 people joined. Then actually, throughout the year, I put schedule for those kind of workshop and emailing in our schedule, so that, you know, I tend to forget things, but I won't forget to do those things. Yeah,
that's so important, right? I mean, when it comes to things like pricing or retention or recruiting or whatever, if you don't schedule it, you always end up being just a bit too late. Yeah,
right. Mm. And you know, it's, I mean, to me, it had been always like, you know, at the end of December when, you know, people start to think about new school year, and then I start to feel like, oh, what should we do? Like, who's gonna quit and things like that, right?
Right.
So it's just a bit too late.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think that the timing is important when it comes to that?
Yeah, timing is definitely important. Yeah. Actually giving, you know, valuable information occasionally is very, very important. So we do that at least once a month. I send an email to them.
Once a month. Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Is it individualized, or it's for one kind of email to all, like a newsletter kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of like a newsletter.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Yeah. In those kind of newsletter, I do not put any sales talk or anything like that. Like things that I noticed that things might be, you know, applied to raising children and then education and things like that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Now, do you have, it's a bit difficult to evaluate the effect, but do you have any kind of indication of how effective that's been at retaining, particularly the older kids?
That's hard to say. It's hard to say, but definitely in some way, definitely affecting, but it's just hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard to get a kind of metric on that, right?
Right, right, yeah.
The 30 that joined the workshops, have you noticed any particular patterns with them? Do they have a higher retention than compared to others, or?
Actually, for those participants, they were really like, let's say, active parents.
Right.
So they already seemed like they weren't going to quit.
Okay.
But they just wanted to learn more.
right. You already had them on board. Okay. So right, maybe that process starts with the emails throughout the year, right? By the time they're already kind of enthusiastic about it. Okay. Okay.
Right.
That's cool. That sounds familiar.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So then you said you've raised your prices 3 times, and were there any other changes? Maybe 1 year you raised the main lesson fees, but another year you raised just materials, or did you always kind of those 3 times?
I think the first time we raised everything. But the second time and third time, we didn't raise. We raised only material monthly fee. That's
okay.
It. Yeah.
And then have you also changed anything, for example, the number of lessons per year or the length of classes?
Not really. Yeah, we haven't changed anything. But yeah, here's the thing. So we haven't, we actually never raised monthly fee for the current students.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so whenever we make a new change, it's usually for new, new customers, new students
okay,
that haven't been joined us. So, yeah, we haven't had any like, oh, okay, you guys are raising price, so I don't like this, so I'm going to quit or anything like that. Never mm-hmm. happened. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, so that's interesting. Yeah, that's schools seem to be very divided on that point, whether to change it for everyone or just for new students.
Right.
And I can see the benefit of doing it that way. Now,
right.
Do you think that raising your prices has affected the number of students that might join the school?
That's very hard to say.
Right.
Yeah. So, but for example, when it comes to our branding, we're not selling like, okay, we've got a good deal, we're very cheap. So right. You can, come at, for example, only 6,000 yen per month or anything like that.
Right, right.
So we're promoting like, okay, we will, let your students, let your kids experience something like something new and, learn English in a most practical way.
Right.
Yeah, which public schools cannot provide. Mm. So that's how we promote our schools and lessons. So I don't think a lot of people are comparing us to like comparing by the price.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So you avoid kind of leading with the price. You lead with the value, and the price is something that they shouldn't really be.
Right. Yeah. With.
How do people find your prices? They're not on your flyers or advertisings, I guess, or advertising, sorry.
Our price list?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's on our website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then yeah, people can see the whole price list. So okay, they can find it out.
Not in advertising.
Not in advertising. Yeah. So in advertising, we just write so we have a course that are a lot cheaper, which is mm-hmm. Students come once every 2 weeks. So
okay.
We call it kind of like a slow course, like a Udemy mm-hmm. course.
Not right. Like,
yeah, once every week.
Interesting.
So yeah. So it's of course cheaper than the regular course, once a week course, but slightly cheaper. So we
right.
put the price. So geisha monthly fee, for example, 7,500 yen kara or something like that.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that at least, oh, okay. People think like, oh, okay, they've got their fee is not like super expensive or yeah, something like that.
I see. Okay. So you yeah. might, in terms of advertising, you might sort of just mention you've got a lower priced offering that helps to kind of get them in the door, get them looking.
Right. Right.
And then, yeah. And then the other prices they'll have to find out about afterwards.
Mm. Right. Okay. Right. Yeah. So, and while they're finding out our price on our website, they can, find out about more about us. Right. So yeah. They can find out about, how we deliver our lessons and our philosophy and things like that. So when they go to the price list, they're like, oh, okay, I understand. Like they're not comparing.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. So instead of upfronting with a higher price, you just want to get them on the website so they can find out more.
Right.
And then find the pricing hopefully after that or in that process.
Right. Yeah.
Mm, okay. Interesting.
That's our strategy. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to move on to another question. You've already kind of touched on some of the things I'm going to mm-hmm. talk about after, but so how do you structure your fees? You've got the monthly fee. And then you mentioned a materials fee. What else do you have in there?
We've got yearly fee.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we charge 660 yen per month. Yeah, divided into in a month, it's 660 yen. So multiple 12 months. So we charge that fee usually end of at the end of March.
Okay.
Yeah, for the year, for the school year.
For the next year, yeah.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Then if new students join in the middle of the year, then for example, a new student joins on May, then they have to pay from May to March.
Okay.
Yeah, which is for 10 months.
I see, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got the yearly fee, the materials fee, and the monthly gesha. That's it, right?
That's it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have an entry fee? I'm guessing you
Yeah,
do.
we have yeah entry fee. We charge 11,000 yen,
Okay.
11,000 yen.
10,000 with tax.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Got it. All right.
Yeah.
And okay, so can you actually break down what your prices are? And then I want to ask you what your prices are, and then where do you think that fits relative to the market in the
No,
locations you're at?
I see. So this is kind of crazy, but we try to go for the most expensive school. So we check all the other schools' fee. Then it just doesn't really make sense to some people, but we go above that.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we set the price. Then starting from the price, like what kind of value can we offer,
Right.
and what kind of marketing will be good, or so would make sense, or something like that.
I see, I see. So instead of starting with the service and then working up to the price, you'll look at take, you know, try to set a price and then work out the value from that.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. That's
Yeah.
the opposite of what most people would think.
Right. Of course, fundamentally, we're trying to do our best all the time. But for example, when we raise a price, like we have to think like how the market goes, right? And
Right.
the as you said, the market pr like the market average price. But yeah, so as I just mentioned, when we raise a price, we that's how we think. That's the kind of the structure.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And so how much are you charging at your different schools? Is it that you've got schools in Tokyo and in Tokushima? Do you charge the same at both, or what are your prices?
Yeah, completely different. So in Tokushima, which is a really tiny prefecture, a lot of public schools are closing down because we don't have kids in
Okay.
Tokushima. Yeah. So in Tokushima, we charge 9,500 yen, I think. Yeah. Then in Tokyo, we've got two locations in Tokyo, in Setagaya. We are charging, I think, 14,000 yen.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, about 40% more.
Right. Oh, that is a big change.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
even 9,500 for a more rural area is quite high, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty high. Yeah, compared to other English schools and other juku.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So in Tokyo, you're about 40% more at 14,000. And then for in Tokyo, that's again a pricing point that's just above similar Naraigoto or schools in the area.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Can you give us an idea at that high price point, how do you justify? Obviously you can offer great quality, but the customers are not going to necessarily know the difference. How are you able to justify a higher price like that, or do you justify it?
That's a very challenging question to answer. From my perspective, definitely design is one thing. Yeah, design and branding. Having, you know, like a school exterior, and then you know, like kind of like a stylish exterior and stylish website and things like that would be very appealing to you know, parents. So so in that case, yeah, we can you know, attract a lot of people. Then of course, if you know, our quality is low, then they wouldn't pay for the money, right? Yeah, so of course we try to show, you know, how well our students, you know, becoming able to speak English. Then we show a lot of videos on our website and Instagram. Then the last one is will be, I think, you know, talking about philosophy, like why, like what kind of value, like we're trying to deliver, then what kind of like experience we're trying to provide for students, for kids, things like that. Yeah. So for example, I talk about my story on my website. For like I used to be you know, drummer in a death metal band, and I had no education background, no money, but after I went to the US and learned English, I was able to start my own business, and I started to be to do to be able to travel a lot of different countries and things like that. Then people you know, resonate that kind of story, you know, will come to us. Then like, oh wow, I watched the story of the owner, then it was very inspirational. So, and then rather than getting you know, better grades at school, I prefer my kids to, you know, be able to, you know, try new things and use English as a tool. Yeah, so I think, yeah, we're trying to be, yeah, you know, attract those people.
Oh, I see, I see.
Yeah.
So, would you say that you're not trying to attract just anyone, but more of a kind of a specific segment that appeals to? You're not trying to appeal to people who want, you know, to pass ACAN or get high grades at school.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, for example, if, you know, let's say very like mothers that are willing their kids to, you know, send their kids to very, you know, high,
A
like,
prestigious school.
yeah. Then when they saw, when they see my story or my, you know, biography, then like, oh, I used to be a drummer in a death metal band. They go like, eh, what the f-? Like, I don't want my kids to teach those. I don't want him to teach, you know, my kids and things like that. So very, that filtering pretty strongly.
Oh, okay, interesting. Yeah, that's also kind of counterintuitive for some school owners who might be really just trying to get as many and anyone they possibly can. So, do
Oh,
you think
yeah.
by kind of narrowing your focus, does that help also with the brand image and also, you know, the justifying the pricing that you charge?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah. And when it comes like when it comes to our motivation, like it's always demotivating if their needs and what we're providing are different, right? So
Oh,
when they
interesting.
when they say like, oh, my kids are not, if let's say you're providing a Kaiwa communication, but they're saying, oh, my kids are not doing well in school, then, well, you know, it's completely different. So I just want to make it very clear. So here's, I'm not saying that we're not, you know, by studying at Nikko Kids, your kids wouldn't get any better score in school, but you know, what we our focus is communication and being able to speak. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So that's really I think an interesting part of your story is very much the way you've built the brand, whether it's the physical locations, the website, the story behind it, and that's part of kind of how you're able to position yourself at that in that price range, right? What advice would you have for any school owners that were looking to kind of go in that direction as well? and wanted to kind of work on their brand and make their schools appear more kind of high value?
I think the first thing should be finding what their strength is.
Mm-hmm.
So my strength is definitely, you know, providing a you know, good communication skills from the by our lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not providing like, okay, if you study with us, you can get better scores. And then when you talk about like hinsachi, like I have no idea what that is, and some people say the number, right? Then some people go like, oh wow, that's good, but I have no idea.
Right.
So this is my weakness. So just finding your strengths. Then from the strengths, if you feel very passionate about it, then you can think about the direction that you can go for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes different if your strength and your passion are sometimes different, right?
Right.
Yeah. So if they, finding like kind of like the sweet spot where the two things match.
Right.
Yeah. Then you can, decide where you're going to, your goal and the mission.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So from that point, let's say, so a school owner has decided, they have a particular strength. They know what they do well. That's their customer base is mainly going to be sort of interested in that. Mm-hmm. How can they then represent that in the rest of their company, whether it's the website or the training or whatever it is, the Instagram or
right. So so let's say talking from design perspective. So when you see a design, like a school design, you can kind of feel like, oh, they seem like a little bit like a professional and kind of katai. Seems
right.
Like a not super friendly type.
Right.
Sometimes it's good if you're providing like, you can get better scores and you can, go to a really good university, things like that.
Right.
Yeah. So, for example, our website, like we have a lot of pictures of the kids and the teachers, and then a picture of the facility and things like that. Then it provides kind of like a, at home feeling. Yeah,
that's interesting you say that, because I think that there are aspects of your school that are at home, but mm-hmm. if anyone who's listening to this or reading this,
mm-hmm.
Has any experience or checks out Nico Kid's website, it mm-hmm. doesn't look at home in the sense of being in someone's house. It does have a very kind of slick side to it as well, right?
Yeah. So that's a very subtle nuance, I think. So our website doesn't look like a chain Eikaiwa. Mm-hmm. Which is like a done completely professionally. They're using models, kids models, and like everything's just perfect, right?
Right.
So it just gives you a feeling, it's a chain school, and everything has to be like very like manualized and things like that.
Right.
So that's
kind
of the feeling that a lot of parents get. So in our case, in our website, it gives you like a little bit like a home at home feeling, but it's not like a school, done in a house of someone and then run by one person or anything like that. Yeah, so kind of like in the middle
there. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah
possibly. Would you say that something that has more of a real like in someone's house at mm-hmm. home, do you think that would be harder to charge higher prices with that sort of image? Or
yeah, it's definitely harder. Yeah, but I think there must be a way to do it if you give a lot of information that mm-hmm. makes makes your what you're providing, then definitely you could charge a lot higher.
I see. Okay, that's smart. So it as long as it looks intentional and not just hey, we just opened up over the weekend in our house. If it looks intentionally, we've done it at home specifically because we want, you know, this atmosphere to be part of the experience. Okay,
yeah.
Great. Thank you. Okay. All right, I'm going to move on to one more thing then. So you said, you mentioned before that you'll kind of choose a higher end price and then also kind of add value to kind of meet that price point. Tell us more about that.
For example, I started to use Gamerize. Then since then, you know, it's very clear that what kind of how many vocab and what kind of things that they are learning at home for parents, because they can see it visually and they can see that they're speaking towards the app when they play the game. Yeah, then all the contents in Gamerize is all relevant to what we do because they are completely in sync. So it's very, you know, effective. So so those kind of things, like you know, they see value and they see the progress. Then that's something that, you know, good to be mentioned. Okay, so we've started to use, you know, blah 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 blah. So it's been working like this, and our students are getting, you know, even, you know, faster and better. Then you can, you know, address that. Okay, so here's value that something new. Then it can be like you know, good reason to increase the price.
Okay, so it's a differentiator from other schools as well.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned that, so that it's kind of clear. There's numbers, there's data that the parents can get. How do you report that to the parents?
So sometimes we tell parents, okay, please go to. No. Yeah, we kind of like announce. So, for example, January to March, so those like students, I put on the initial. Then most frequently used like a person is Daridari-chan. Then most like learn number of words learned is Daridari-kun or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got kind of like leaderboards.
Yeah. Something like that.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah. So that excites a lot of parents and motivate a lot of students. So
okay. So even if it's not their child that's at the top, does that do you think it still has a positive effect?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Because they can see other kids are doing it, and then you know, they start to feel like, oh, you know, my kids should do that, so they can encourage them sometimes at home to do so.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you also mentioned that it matches with your curriculum. How important is that for you?
It is like I think the most crucial thing, because before I found Gamerize Dictionary, I, you know, knew a lot of you know, RPG games and English study apps and things like that, but none of them were relevant to our you know, what we are teaching. And then it's just to learn a new language, repetition is very important. Repetition in different ways is very important. So since we can put our curriculum in the game itself, then they can repeat and learn and review the same curriculum in different aspects. They can play in the game and then have fun, and they can use it in our school. Then so there's many ways that they can learn one curriculum. Then so we start to be able to you know, communicate in school, in class, because we don't have to, you know, have them try to memorize phrases and then words in class. So now we can focus on communication.
Okay, so this might be another one of those things that later on, if you need to increase prices, you can say, you know, the kids are getting this much more out of class time because of that, right?
Right. Yeah. That can be definitely, yeah, a strong factor.
Okay, so how, talk to me about how you've communicated price increases to students. What are your tips? What have you done well? Is there anything that you've maybe done wrong?
Okay. So, having enough time for notice is definitely important.
Right.
If you say like, oh, next month we're raising a price, then they will be really angry for
Right.
sure. Yeah. So at least, 3 months or 4 months ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. And you should make it as offshore as possible, as professional as possible. Not just, writing an email or just saying verbally.
Right.
Yeah, of course, you have to email them and talk to them verbally, but you have to prepare, professional looking document saying that here's the price change and the reasons, blah, 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 and come in effect when, and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Then if you are going to charge, increase your price for your current students, you should definitely, make sure to tell them what kind of things that are, added.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think they don't have to be anything new. Something that you have, started doing over the, past few years or whatever. It must have cost a lot of money for you to, come up with that idea or new service or things like that.
Right.
So you should definitely mention that. For example, one year ago, I started to do blah 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 in class, and it's been I'm not sure if costing is the right word, but it could say like it's been effective.
Right.
So I like to promote it to more students, so I like to increase the price or whatever. I can't think of a good example, but yeah, things like that.
Okay, that makes sense. So that way, hopefully they're seeing the value before the price is increased, right? So that's an idea, yeah, leading with the actual improvements and then following it up with the price increase. Okay, I like that. Right. Okay, so early, as professional as possible, give the reason. Tell me more about giving the reason. In what way would you express that?
Okay, for example, oh yeah, so this is not school's factor, but when things change in the society, for example, the inflation,
Right.
then for example, things get more expensive, then you can definitely mention things like that. Yeah, also when taxes raised.
Right. Okay. Did you raise prices the last two times they raised taxes?
I think one time we did, but I think, yeah, first time we did, but second time we didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, because at that time already, I think people were feeling were pretty pricey.
Right,
When it
okay, you're
comes,
already upset. I see, I see. Okay. So yeah, mentioning something like inflation is a good idea. And then, as you mentioned before, also changes or improvements in service.
For example, I think we have started to use online library. I mean, online library system where they can borrow physical books from our library. Yeah. So yeah, that can be a good reason to be
Okay, right.
mentioned.
You mentioned a kind of an example of like, oh, we've been doing this in class or whatever. Is there anything specific you were thinking of?
For example, this might not be visible, but what I would say is that for our training, we start to do blah 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 for our
Right.
teachers, then that's one of the reasons and things like that.
Right. Okay. So emphasis on training. could be
right.
important as well. Yes, because that's also one that they might not see or might not be aware of.
Now, for example, for this year, we are going to close some locations so that teachers can see, teacher can gather at one location and observe the lessons.
Right.
Yeah. So doing things like that would cost, you know, something, right? So yeah, mentioning something like that would be convincing, I think, in a way.
Okay. Yeah. In order to do that, are you cutting down on numbers of classes or no?
We're not cutting down the number of classes, but it's just we're trying to arrange. We're just arranging our days off.
Okay, at each school, yeah. So that
Right. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Then we would have to, you know, have our teachers to commute to, you know, to a different location. So, you know, it's not so much, but it would cost at least a little bit. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely.